International scientists have developed a new blood test which can predict Alzheimer's more than a decade before the symptoms of the disease develop. Released in the journal Nature Medicine today, it shows that changes in the levels of a protein in the blood could shed light on damage to the brain. Alzheimer's is now Australia's second biggest killer, and while there's no way to cure it, scientists hope that the test could help in the trial of new drugs. Professor Colin Masters was part of the Australian team, which is contributing to this study. He's a neuroscientist at the Florey Institute at Melbourne University. Colin Masters, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
How can a blood test predict Alzheimer's 10 years before the symptoms manifest, Colin?
What we think is happening is that the nerve cells in the brain are beginning to degenerate at least a decade before onset of cognitive impairment, and this very sensitive blood test can pick it up.
And what's it picking up?
It's picking up the breakdown products of the nerve cells as they degenerate. It's not specific for Alzheimer's disease, but it's extremely sensitive. So it will also show changes in the blood of people who are suffering from other sorts of degenerations or damage to the brain.
And what is the value of this? Because, as I said, there is no drug to stop the progression of Alzheimer's. There's no drug to cure it. So what is the value of, if you like, this tip-off 10 years out?
So we're moving into an era now where we believe that therapies are on the horizon, and we must have ways of identifying individuals at risk, and this is the best way that we have at this point.
But once we identify individuals at risk, then what? What is the value of them for knowing early? Some might say it's a curse, not a blessing.
No, because these therapies will have to be used at the very earliest possible stages. And this is where these blood tests are beginning to show real high performance, and that is that they're detecting changes 10 years before any real substantive damage to the brain occurs.
I think what you're saying is that there are therapies being developed. They can be tested on patients where the early signs are there, and they can be measured against which ones slow down the progression. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly right.
So it's sort of like a Grand Prix of therapies working on people we are pretty certain will develop the disease.
Yes, so these new technologies are showing us the way to specifically diagnose preclinical Alzheimer's disease, and also these more sensitive tests are being used to demonstrate how the brain degenerates in other conditions. For example, we can now use a test like this to distinguish a person suffering from a psychosis, which is not involving damage to the brain, from a neurodegenerative disorder.
And that makes sure that the treatment, any drug treatment given, is the most appropriate, that you're not giving someone with psychosis something that, you know, because they're being diagnosed as having Alzheimer's.
Exactly right, yes.
So these clinical tests are one thing. Testing new therapies are one thing. But are there lifestyle changes? Are there other things, other drugs, other vitamins, other anything that somebody can use to, if they have this information 10 years early, to slow down the advance of the disease?
Potentially. This is an area of very intense research at the moment. So as far as we can tell, genetics plays a much bigger role than environmental factors in Alzheimer's disease.
You mean, but people are more predisposed to it through genetics?
That's what the data is showing at the moment. But there is some evidence that environmental factors such as exercise and diet may have an effect on the rates of progression in Alzheimer's disease. And this is something which is being actively researched at the moment.
And what about cognitive therapies? Are they more effective if you can start them early?
Most of that sort of approach is symptomatic and is not in any way thought to be truly disease modifying.
So, Colin, you're listening to Our Breakfast. It's 20 past eight. Our guest is Professor Colin Masters, a neuroscientist at the Florey Institute at Melbourne University. What is the process for identifying who gets the test? If this test is up and running, if this blood test is assessed to be important and we use it and we implement it, who gets it, or do we all get it just in case?
Well, at this point, it's still a research program, but in the near future, when therapies are available, we'll be looking specifically at people at increased risk because of family history, of and that would imply a genetic predisposition, and also individuals who we suspect are at high risk because of their other factors.
Like what other factors?
Their lifestyle factors, for example, may be relevant.
Okay.
As I said, exercise, diet, education, these are some of the lifestyle factors that we are currently investigating. And as people enter the critical period for sporadic disease, which is in their 50s, we want to be able to screen large numbers of individuals using blood tests like this to pick up the earliest signs.
We spoke to you last year, Colin, early last year, I think, about another blood test for Alzheimer's, a world first too, which detected the build-up of a protein called alpha-beta. This is completely different to this test, and is there any value in having these two early warning tests?
Well, one, the A-beta test is very specific for Alzheimer's, and this test that we're talking about today is very sensitive, but is not specific for Alzheimer's. So used in combination, we would then have two tests, one very sensitive, one very specific, and we would get a lot of additional information from using them in combination.
Colin Masters, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Professor Colin Masters is a neuroscientist at the Florey Institute at Melbourne University.